101.7, The Hammer.
The Hammer Down Show is back. 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. Don't forget that you can also download the mobile app, Duff. It's available for your Apple and Android devices.
Yes, you should definitely download it. Perfect for vacation. Heading out to the beach, heading out to the pool. Got to check out all of our latest, all the local stuff going on here at 101.7 The Hammer. Lots going on as we get set with... You know, we got high school football just around the corner. We got Colts camp will be opening soon. Bears camp will be opening soon. Men's City Golf Tournament starts this weekend. The Women's City Golf Tournament also starts this weekend. Couple of rounds. One on Saturday at the West Lafayette Golf and Country Club. Another one on Sunday at Coyote Crossing. So the women playing 18 on Saturday and 18 on Sunday to determine their Women's City Golf champion, former Jeff golfer Samantha Hatter, the defending champion. She's won the last four tournaments. So we'll talk more about the Women's City throughout the week as well. We're going to talk some Purdue basketball right now. Big month of July for recruiting.
We head to the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline once again, and we bring in Nathan Baird of the Lafayette Journal and Courier. Another, this is two recruiting periods coming up, Duff, right?
We did this in April, now we're going to do it in July, the next 3 weeks. So Nathan is the man to ask all the questions, too.
All right, so Nathan, I guess the first question is, how is Purdue on track to get what they need right now heading into these next two recruiting periods in your mind?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, first of all, I mean, they already have two people from this, or two commitments for this class, and that puts them ahead of, you know, as much as I cautioned fans not to make too much of them not having commitments this early the last couple years, because these things don't often, you know, get hashed out until after the July period or even sometimes into the fall when guys start taking official visits. Having two already kind of puts them ahead of schedule a little bit. You know, Isaiah Thompson committed in January. Gave them, you know, point guard or combo guard, you know, whatever he ends up being, that they, you know, really needed going forward. And then they get Mason Gillis a couple weeks ago as a, you know, a versatile forward that can do a lot of things for them, really good rebounder. And both of those were guys who I think they had really pinpointed early on, had gone after hard and built, you know, really good relationships with. So if this ends up being a four-person class, and it could be four, it could be five, even depending on what happens scholarship wise with people like Carson Edwards, they've already got two of those spots locked up, and they're both, you know, positions of need, and both guys that they really liked and were guys who were priorities early on. So they're already in really good position, I think, for this class. Now it's just a matter of, you know, does having two guys, you know, locked up early on help them as far as, you know, not having to keep, you know, recruiting on, they can maybe narrow their focus a little bit as far as this 2019 class goes. But that's only, you know, there's only so much you can do there, though, because really the recruiting for 2020, 2021, all that, it's already well underway. They're already paying a lot of attention to those guys and starting to build important relationships with those players, too. So having the two early guys helps a little bit. Gives them, I think, a pretty solid foundation. And if they could get one or two more, even if it's just one out of this group of the guys that they're still fighting after, they're some of the most highly recruited guys in the Midwest, I think this becomes a pretty special class, potentially.
Nathan, we know the recruiting evaluation periods in April are big, but what makes these July weekends over the next 3 weeks, they seem like they're bigger than what happened in April. Why are these so much bigger and so much more important, do you think?
Well, you know, April is still sometimes about guys who hadn't necessarily been identified yet or guys who are still on the ascent. You know, Brandon Newman would be an example of that, a guy that, you know, Purdue had had him in for an unofficial but hadn't offered him yet even going into the spring, and was a guy who still needed to maybe show some growth in his game and did that. And not only has Purdue offered, but now Indiana's offered, Ohio State's offered. He's a guy who... just, you know, his profile raised by the way that he played this spring. So now some of those guys don't really get identified or put themselves on another level in April. And now you see teams going back out. Maybe they got some early commits, or maybe they're still looking for their first ones. But now teams have an even better idea, I think, of who they're going after, who they're prioritizing. So the July period does kind of, I think, ratchet up in importance. Also, some of these circuits have, you sort of ascend. You know, what you did in the spring, if you're a team that, won enough games, that bumps you into, for instance, the Peach Jam that's going on this week in North Augusta, South Carolina. You know, you have to kind of earn your way into that. And now there's even better teams there. So now you've got the very best teams in the nation, the very best players in the nation, in theory, going against each other head to head. Not that they weren't occasionally doing that in the spring, but sometimes that ratchets up a little bit here in the summer.
How many of Purdue's targets will we see there at that tournament in South Carolina this weekend?
I actually don't have the list in front of me, but several of them. This was a year that, for whatever reason, a lot of Purdue's 2019 targets are really clustered on that Nike circuit. So, Keon Brooks, the Indiana Heat guys, I guess Trace Jackson Davis would be on that team too. I'm drawing a blank. I think, Malik Hill with MoCon is there. Just there's several guys who are significant guys that Purdue has really pinpointed and put not just, the past year, but two or three years in some cases into really pursuing hard. So that's something to keep an eye on. But I don't think anything probably gets hashed out in terms of, I know fans are probably waiting on the next shoe to drop. I don't anticipate that happening, certainly until the end of this month. And again, maybe not until the fall because, guys, a lot of times at this stage, they like to take those official visits. You get on the campus for a full football weekend. Usually it coincides with a home football game. You get to spend a lot of time sequestered with the team. You get to do more things with the team than you would on an unofficial visit. There's rules that govern that. So I think, Purdue is, like I said, they're in a good place right now, and now they kind of get to – there's going to probably be a little bit of a gap that's somewhat unpredictable because we've seen them come out of nowhere before, but probably going to be a little bit of a gap before you start to see the third and fourth guys in these classes fall. The other thing I would remind fans of, too, is sometimes these things drag on until the spring. I mean, Caleb Swanigan, that situation, even his first commitment to Michigan State didn't play out until the spring. There was a reclassification in there that changed that a little bit. But even guys, Sasha Stefanovic, P.J. Thompson, a guy who was obviously a crucial player for Purdue over the last 4 years, he was a really late commitment and signing. So don't be surprised if this is a class just because of its size that Purdue doesn't finish off until maybe the spring, depending on what their needs are, where guys go, and who maybe emerges later in the process.
We're talking with Nathan Baird on the Wings and Center Hammerhead Hotline from the Lafayette Journal and Courier. Purdue basketball in the middle of a couple of big recruiting sessions coming up here. When they got the Mason Gillis commitment, excuse me if I'm wrong on this, Nathan, but I believe you were the one that said that was a must-get for Purdue basketball. You say they're in a pretty good place now, but is there another player that's on the list there that you would classify as a must-get for Purdue, or are they good enough to not have to worry about that? They're not in that kind of trouble.
Yeah, I don't think that was me, and I don't usually like to put that kind of notice out there on my own, partially because I think there, in this case, especially with Gillis, there were a handful of guys that they were recruiting that are essentially the same position. However, I will say there is something to be said for when you have a really good player who you've been putting a lot of time in, you really prioritized him, and he clearly wants to come play for your team. Teams need to find a way to get that done, and Purdue has done a good job of that so far with both Thompson and with Gillis. I mean, again, it gave them people that they really like. It seemed to be, good character kids. The other things they prioritize that aren't basketball things seem to fit those guys. So that's two that are squared away. Kind of following that same line of thought, the next one probably is Brandon Newman, would be a guy that they got in on early. Even though he didn't offer him as early as other people, the interest was legitimate. I talked to him last week. He said that he didn't take that personally because he understood that Purdue has a somewhat methodical way that it goes step by step to deciding who it's going to offer. And he was really excited to get that offer. Now he's in a situation where, he's going to be kind of, showcasing himself the rest of this month. He's been, like I said, pulling down some intriguing offers. Does he start to get someone from that next tier up above even some of the best teams in the Big Ten, or what's considered the next tier up, I guess? I don't know. That could happen, but I know that the relationship that he's built with Purdue is strong. The interest is real. He's even got, there's good connections going back to his high school coach there. So he would be the next one that I think, I'm not predicting that he would pick Purdue, but he's kind of along that same lines of, here's the guy that you've identified that you really like, that you think might have even been underrated, and you're kind of maybe, you know, ahead of the pack on him a little bit. Can you get that done and bring him in? And I don't like to, I sometimes only like to say it like that, because I think that's the way fans look at it, as, you know, if you whether you got beat on a guy or whether you missed on a guy, they forget sometimes that these are, each individual person is making their decision based on their own criteria. That's an important thing to remember here. But from talking to him last week, Purdue seemed to fit a lot of his criteria as well.
With these events over the next 3 weekends, wasn't there a lot of talk this spring with the basketball commission about changing these things or changing what happens with these evaluation periods? Could this be the last time we see this type of setup moving forward?
You know, there are some discussions out there about that, that, you know, and I'm blanking on it right now, whether it's the spring period or the fall period, that the college coaches would essentially be not completely barred from, but it would be changed a lot so that they would only have access to certain events. It would be limited beyond what it is now. It's people who are trying to take, they think that the AAU influence is the problem here. I'm not sure I agree with that. You know, when I go to AAU tournaments, I really, for the most part, just see a lot of guys trying to play basketball. You can argue that that AAU has been sometimes detrimental to the way kids play sometimes, because it becomes sometimes a much more of an individual thing, based on, you know, everybody thinks they have to go out and showcase themselves in some way. I don't know even if I ascribe to that, but this idea that AAU is the vessel that's causing this corruption, or this these concerns of corruption in the game, I don't think that I'm, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. I think they need to be maybe a little bit more creative in what they're doing, instead of trying to do this with one fell swoop and choke off what I think a lot of players feel like is a really, if players, coaches, everyone thinks is a good venue for guys to get showcased for the next level. And the other thing that I worry about, some of the things I've seen, is when you start limiting this to being, oh, it's only going to be these elite camps or elite tournaments that are run by the NCAA, and that's the ones that these coaches will get to go to. What does that mean for all the players who are, you know, middle and lower level Division I players or Division II players and NAIA players? I mean, those guys play on these teams too. Yes, it's tiered in the summer, but a lot of those things are happening at the same tournaments. You know, what happens to those guys? Is their exposure being limited from the coaches where no one's really worried about the corruption of Division II basketball? But those guys need opportunities to be seen too. And it's just more convenient for coaches to do it in the summer than it is, you know, going to each individual high school. You can go see so many guys at once. You know, I've watched Matt Painter watching one court, and then he gets up at halftime and goes and sits somewhere so he can watch two courts at once for two other guys he's watching, or maybe it's more than two guys. That's how this works in the summer, and it's worked, I think, as far as helping college coaches see more players, scout more players, get more players exposure. I think what the NCAA doesn't want to admit is that as long as you've got a financial situation that's upside down in the way that this works, then whether you take AAU out of the middle or not, someone's still going to find a way to bring that level of corruption into it. So if they're not going to fix that, then pushing AAU basketball and changing how they do summer is really not going to do any good.
Nathan Barron from the Lafayette Journal and Courier putting us up on this two very important recruiting periods coming up for Purdue basketball. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, read him. He'll have great write-ups in the paper as well. Always a pleasure to have him on. Nathan, thank you so much, bud.
Thanks, Roger.